Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Zermatt Baptist Church. Whether you've come from just round the corner or far away. I remember Adrian Plass once commented that the people who are last at church are usually the ones who live nearest to the church. Alistair is away today, so the service is being led by the music group and our guest star, Sue Thompson. So a little different to usual, but we come before the same Lord. Notices. The only notice that I have at the moment is that today is the World Day of Prayer service, which is this evening at 6:30 at Unity Methodist, that's Zermatt Methodist Church. 6:30 this evening for anybody who wants to gather. It used to be the Women's Day of Prayer, but now it's the World Day of Prayer, and I think it will be particularly interesting because the service was put together by the women of Palestine before the present troubles began, so be a real opportunity to pray for that troubled land. So I'm going to begin with Approach God. I'm going to read from one of the Psalms. Several of the Psalms from, I think, 120 to, just looking how many there are, 120 to 134 are labelled the Songs of Ascents. And they were psalms which were recited by pilgrims who were travelling to the city of God, the city of Zion. And they're called ascents. Christy and I know very well that you have to go uphill quite a long way to get to Jerusalem. We did it in a comfortable coach. But you're ascending a long way up towards God's city. And when you get there, Jerusalem is on a hill and it's surrounded by hills. And so the pilgrims would have recited this Psalm 125 as one of the psalms they would have gone up the hill to. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. I'm going to invite Sue now to come and expound her theme for the service and introduce the first song.
When I first thought about this morning's service, I had a little sort of small theme, and it's now got bigger and bigger and bigger. It's now a triple act between George and me and the music group. To introduce it, though, if we were Anglicans, we would have divided the church year into three groups. Pentecost to September, sort of where the church concentrates particularly on the Holy Spirit. September-ish to Christmas, where the focus is on God Father and particularly God Creator. And rather conveniently, harvest falls into that season. And then Christmas to Easter, the focus is on Jesus. So I thought we'll focus on Jesus from Christmas to Easter in this morning's service. So that's quite a big topic. So we're going to travel on a journey from Christmas to Easter and see what God says to us through different ways. But that's why the first song we're going to sing starts in a rather unexpected place for March. Thank you.
Church family, my readings have been recently on the healing power of God and his miracles, and I would just like to share this little miracle with you. It was just on Tuesday afternoon, I was filling one of these little gas lighters that you light your cooker and the candles and things with, and it exploded, and it burnt my hand really badly. It was really red, angry, blistering. And my son said to me all day, douse it under the cold water as you do. He said, Mum, I think you should go to A&E. And I really didn't fancy sitting there for hours on end. And they probably would just say, well, you know, done what you've done sort of thing. So I phoned Alistair up and I said, would you pray that I just don't have to go and sit in hour in A&E, which is anything for hours on end. And he did, I presume. Well, he did. He prayed with me over the phone, so I don't presume that at all. And the lovely meeting on Tuesday night, they prayed for me as well. I went to bed with a painkiller. I didn't go through to A&E, and my hand was really painful, really angry, really horrible, blistery and sore. And the next morning when I got up, gone completely. It was like that the next morning. Absolutely nothing. No pain, no blisters, no nothing. So I just praise God for listening to us and listening to the music of the prayer group and answering prayer. And I hope this is a bit of an encouragement to people that, you know, need the extra touch from God at the moment. Thank you for listening.
Just thank God for all the work that he does in our lives. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge you as the Lord of our lives, the Saviour of our souls. And we thank you for your healing power and the work that you did on Jill's hand that you healed her, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for showing a little bit of your gloriousness to us. We thank you for all the healing that you do when we ask. And Lord, we thank you as well for the times that we ask and we don't get the answers we want. Lord, those times are difficult, but we know that you are still Lord, even at those times. We're going to carry on praising now.
There is a promise made yet to come. There is hope for us.
take the collection in this next song.
Father, these gifts may seem small to us, but to you they seem immense, and to those who will receive them and be blessed by them. Lord, we just thank you for all that you enable us to give, as you have given before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, do you want to come up soon? I'll pray for you. Lord, we just pray for our sister Sue. We just pray that you'd bless her, that you'd endow her with the presence of your Spirit, and that she might speak the words that you've given her to speak to us today, as she leads us through all that planned for today. And we ask you to bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Forgotten my glasses. When you have a cataract operation done, you can't actually see the same afterwards. So we're going to... Yeah, I can't see that, and you. We're going to discover in song and pictures and reflections and readings this morning something of that journey Jesus went on from his manger to his cross. We're not thinking beyond his cross at the moment because we are in the period of Lent, and our emphasis is to build our way up to Good Friday. Sometimes think as Christians we rush to get to Easter Sunday and we don't actually stand at the foot of the cross and share that experience. We're going to see if we can find some new or things that we did know and had forgotten. Something new from God this morning, some truth that is new to you. So the idea is more to listen and think than to take part, perhaps. Although you will take part. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that through the Holy Spirit you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts so that in these familiar stories we will perceive something in a different way today. Remind us of long forgotten truths, or reveal something new, completely new, to confirm for us the solid basis of our faith in Jesus. And as we follow the journey from manger to cross, draw us closer to you. Amen. Of course, there is something to think about before the manger. There are only two gospel writers that tell us about Jesus' nativity. The other two don't. But one of the other gospel writers tells us something of other significance. And that's where the story of Jesus, of course, begins. And John says, in the beginning was not the manger. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we're going to sing a song about Jesus' beginning, in the beginning. We're going to sing, "You Are the Author of Creation." Chorus.
Oh,
And a bit more music. We're going to listen to a song now. The words will be on the screen. I don't think it's one that we particularly know, but if we do, then you might like to sing it quietly to yourself. But remain seated and just listen to another song. Reading from the letter of Paul to the church in Philippi, and somebody in the music group is going to read to us. Thanks, Vera.
Philippians 2, 3 to 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. And so he came. Let's look at some pictures. Pictures by famous painters whose names I didn't write down, so I've forgotten. I'm sorry. It's on the screen, Mark says. First of all, a nativity picture. It's not very clear, is it? Less light. Can you see where the nativity is happening? It's just an ordinary village screen. Would somebody like to come and point it out? Oh, no, indicate to us. Go on, Chris.
I'm not sure if I'm right. On the left, is it?
At the bottom left, yes. It's sort of there. And why do you think Bruegel put it there? What was Bruegel wanting to say about the nativity in that picture? Not in the middle. It's not a Christmas card. That actually life was going on. And just up one little corner, Jesus came. And we sort of get it out of balance sometimes at Christmas. Look at another one. This is a more traditional picture. Yeah, yes. Mm. What impression of that baby did you get? Go a bit closer if you want to. Go and have a look.
Cold.
A bit cold, yes. Quite. What does he look like? Chubby. Chubby. Yes. Yes. He's a normal little baby, isn't he? We've all seen babies like that. And yes, it's easier over here. Botticelli is saying he was a normal baby. He came as a normal baby. He came as one of us, like the song said, I am for you. He came as one of us. But later on, they wanted to say a bit more about Jesus. Can we do the next one? What's that one saying about the baby? It's what? It's radiant. Why is it radiant? What is the, who was that one?
Matthias Stormer.
Oh, Matthias Stormer. What did he want to say about Jesus? He's a normal little baby. You know, he's still quite chubby. But what else did Stormer want to say? He's the centre of attention. Yes. And he's bright, he's shining, he's God. And there's something very significant in that picture about the normalness of Jesus and the divine godness of Jesus. And you might get that on a Christmas card. Could you put the second one back? Oh, it's better here, isn't it? Yeah. I'll ask the music group. Can you see Joseph on that one? Joseph is on the left with a blue arm. What is Joseph feeling, do you think?
A bit left out.
Maybe a bit left out, yes. His head's on his hands, isn't it? How do you expect Joseph to feel in the stable? Sorry?
It wasn't his baby.
It was, but it wasn't. Yes. Yes. To me, he looks almost overwhelmed, despairing. He's not really looking much at the baby. He's sort of hiding his face. I wrote something about Joseph. Because I wondered if Joseph had an insight. Joseph sits there at the front, keeping an eye on Mary, his heart bursting with love for her. From time to time, he looks at the baby, his tiny mouth still sucking in his sleep. Ah, Mary, he sighs. We got more than we bargained for when we realized we were meant for each other. He had planned it so differently. He thinks about the beautifully crafted cradle waiting at home, ready for the child. He'd shaped it and smoothed it and polished it, working late into the night. He looks at the manger with its rough wood and prickly hay and sighs and thinks, "Well, little lad, I'll care for you and love you and teach you my trade. I'll make a carpenter of you, a worker in wood. I'll teach you about trees and branches and bark and hard and soft woods. I'll show you how to plane and saw and fashion and mould the timber to fit its purpose. How to carve a nice bit of decoration. I'll show you the joints, easy ones at first, then the more complicated ones for giving strength to ploughs and roofs. I'll teach you how to hammer in nails straight and true. Perhaps Joseph the carpenter, the craftsman, who could work wonders with a piece of wood, knew that through this little lad asleep in the manger, wood, and not the wood of the cradle, would change the destiny of the world. Ah, yes, by the time he died, this baby would be very familiar with wood and hammer and nails. There are just my thoughts, but there were those there at the Nativity who knew where it would all end. Who knew where it would all end? You do know. Sorry?
The angels.
Oh, I suppose the angels did as well, but I was thinking of more human people, yes. The baby. Think of the other characters around the story. Yes? No? The kings, the wise men. What did they bring? Gold, frankincense, and for death. Myrrh is for death. Yeah. So let's sing. I think we'll sing all the verses.
Thank you.
Yeah, the wise men with their singularly inappropriate gifts. Gold was all right, I suppose. Frankincense told of his priesthood. But myrrh, speaking of death? I always think that's a strange one to be singing at Christmas. We sing, myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume. So we sang it nicely and slowly today. Jesus grew up. There was his frenzied 3 months, 3 years of ministry. If you read John's Gospel, there's no rest, there's no break. Just for fun, let's look at a picture of the feeding of the 5,000. A modern picture. What can you see? It's fish and chips. Yes. Yes, it is. It's fish and chips. If you were closer, you can see the people are all sort of sitting in family groups talking to each other around their fish and chips. Can you see where Jesus is? It's quite odd. Anyone see? No, he's not in the middle. Go again, Moira. Oh, no, not the bottom. The bottom top corner.
Yes.
The right-hand top corner. There's a very odd sort of representation of an altar with a Bible on it, and Jesus appears to be standing behind it. It's a really strange picture. I told you it was for fun. Fish and chips. Think for a moment, though. Jesus the miracle worker. Yes, of course. Let's think about Jesus the healer. We've got to take one aspect of his ministry. So let's think about Jesus the healer. And somebody from the music group has got a reading. Stuart.
I would like to say also that Joseph, although he's going to show him all the softwoods and hardwoods and all that, he was going to show him his love and how much he loved him. Right, yes. I'm reading from Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. And it's headed, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Amen.
What was shocking about that healing? What was shocking, not to us, but to the people then? Yes, Jesus touched him. You didn't touch anyone with leprosy. You ran a mile from any road with leprosy. Jesus touched him and healed him. We have, in fact, heard this morning of Jesus' healing power. We hear stories of people being made well through the power, the touch of Jesus. And we rejoice with Jill, particularly, but we rejoice with all those who do feel that touch, and it may be you, and are healed and are well and are physically better. We rejoice in that return to physical health. But what of those who, despite their deep faith, are not physically healed, they stay ill. They stay in pain. They still live on with a disability, despite their prayers and the prayers of faith of the churches. What is the message to them? Where is the healing for them? Well, we know people who stay physically sick, but through the healing touch of Jesus, rise up above that sickness and find new life, despite and sometimes even because of their illness, their disability. There is that sort of healing too. No less the touch of our Saviour. Martin Joseph has a very early song, and we'll hear it now. It's quite short. It's called Broken Wings Don't Always Heal to Fly. This is the song for the people who have prayed and prayed and prayed and found at least not physical healing, though may have found other sorts of healing as well.
Not very strong when it comes to this. Deep in my heart, I know it's gone. I guess I'd rather wait till the morning. Hope that it would bring a brighter sun. But time has had a chance to do her healing. Must take these pieces as they lie and offer them to you in my sadness. I guess broken wings don't always heal to fly. Oh, and I need you more than I ever did before. Oh, how I need to hear you. And I will, if I will listen to the lesson that you're whispering. Life is a painful journey, and you knew, so you took it for me long ago. Oh, how I need to hear your voice. And I will, if I will listen to the lesson that you're whispering. That life's a painful journey, but you knew, so you took it for me long ago.
And that song reminds us that the journey we're on this morning doesn't stop here. We're halfway through Lent, and the journey went on for Jesus all the way to Jerusalem and to the cross. And the journey for us goes on as we prepare for Easter. Especially at this time, as we approach Easter, we think of another aspect of healing, the healing of relationships, and particularly we reflect on the healing of our relationship with God, which found its sort of, in a way, completion, its fulfillment in Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Throughout Lent and all through your Lent groups and your study groups and your, perhaps your personal readings this Lent, as we prepare ourselves once more to find again the healing touch of Jesus on our broken relationship with God. It's in some way, in a way that we don't understand, that we're healed through the mystery of Jesus' death on the cross. Our brokenness as people and as a world and as a church are mended there. Our spiritual relationship with God is healed and strengthened and given new life, which is why we have to pause on Good Friday and not rush too fast to Easter Sunday. We're aware of this, particularly on Good Friday, but also at communion, where we remember the body and blood of Jesus. Because that's the story of Easter. So perhaps the challenge today is for the next 4 weeks to carry on thinking about that journey of Jesus from his manger right up to his death. The journey of Easter takes us to Jerusalem. And it invites us to stand at the foot of the cross and there to find the touch of healing and new life. Let's pray together. Easter God, come to all of us, your broken people this morning, as individuals and as a church. We need your healing touch of love and mercy. Come to those who we know personally are suffering this morning, either through sickness or mental illness or sadness or grief and loss. They too need your gentle healing touch. Come to the parts of your world tormented by war and death. Come to refugee people driven from home, suffering lack of food and medical care. Come to Ukraine and Gaza and other parts of our world, which may be unknown to us, but not to you, who need your touch of healing. Come with your touch to the hearts of merciless leaders, uncaring politicians, cruel oppressors. They too need your strong and powerful touch of healing. Heal your world, Easter God. Heal all of us with your touch of love and mercy. Amen. And our final song gathers together all our thoughts this morning. So we sing "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." Because Jenny's got something to say to us.
When Sue was just talking about broken relationships, I just felt very powerfully that I just got to share this with you. You probably know that me and a few others in the church are involved with Prison Fellowship. And at the moment, we're dealing with Mother's Day. Mother's Day is something that young offenders in our prisons can take part in if they want to. And we're thinking here of 15-year-old boys and girls to 23, 25-year-old men. What I want to say is that we've had the privilege this week to look at some of these forms that has been sent to me to send their mum or another significant carer a Mother's Day card. And the messages that we have read this week, we've had the privilege and the blessing to read from, we've only dealt with young men, the messages to their mums, and in particular to their nan, to say how sorry they are for the pain that they're putting through their parents and how much they love their mums. And I just pray, if we could just pray that this contact with their mum through this card and a small gift. It is a small gift because on the boy's behalf, we send the mum or the nan a £5 Costa gift voucher. They can go in Costa and have a coffee and a piece of cake. We just pray that this builds relationship, builds bridges and alters those young people's lives for good. And that when they say that we're not going to do this again, Mum, we're not going to put you through this, that they'll actually, that this will actually happen. Thank you.
Let's pray. Living God, we thank you for the work which Jenny and others do. And we pray for each one of those young men and young women that she comes into contact with. We pray for their families, and we pray that with the Mother's Day card and little gift and the love which those young people are sending, you will go too, that you will accompany that card with your love, and that you will enable those families to feel comforted and perhaps strengthened by this contact with their youngster. Living Lord, we thank you for your constant presence in prisons. May those who are perhaps hardened to ordinary life know your love. Amen. And now, we pray for the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to go with us and with all those young men and women and their families today and forever. Amen.